I'm Eli Manning.
How y'all feeling today?
Welcome to another edition of Giants Access Blue presented by Toyota. I'm Bob Papa. As we continue our look back at the 25th anniversary of the 1990 Super Bowl champion New York Giants. You know the names like Bill Parcells and Lawrence Taylor, notable figures in that fantastic season. But there were so many guys that played a vital role. Over the next half hour, we're going to look back at the unsung heroes from that championship squad.
In 90, you didn't know who was going to step up. It was really one of the greatest team efforts I've ever seen in sports.
Pepper Johnson was there. Eric Howard. John Washington.
John Washington!
Yeah, Washington sneaking through, stopping him at the line of scrimmage.
We had young secondary players to Jackson and Guyton and those kids. They were good young physical players.
Those young players, you know, were biting off a big chunk of a new career, along with Mark Ingram.
Completed the 5-yard line by Ingram, and he slides into the end zone.
Stephen Baker.
Touchdown!
We were continuing to build our football team, and we were getting better, and we had different pieces that came into the puzzle as well.
You had guys like Everson Walls coming in. And
intercepted! Everson Walls!
And Dave Duison.
Free ball! Picked up, and they'll score! Duison!
Everybody just did a great job. Without any one person in particular shining above the rest, I mean, that's kind of what we were.
At the start of the 1990 season, Phil Simms was the Giants' starting quarterback. 4 years earlier, in 1986, Simms led the Giants to the championship in Super Bowl 21 and was named MVP. And in 1990, he was poised to make another Super Bowl run, but with a much different Giants team.
Well, I think in 90, we redirected the team. We just kind of changed who we were a little bit. And instead of this team that was looking for nothing but big plays, we became a little more methodical. It was good for me early because I played very well. Right from the start.
Simms looking for a target. Rollies right. He's going long, way down deep. It is complete to Ingram. Touchdown! Simms looking to his right. Still looking. He's going deep end zone corner. Complete touchdown!
With Simms having one of his best seasons of his career, the Giants raced out to a 10-0 start. He threw for 15 touchdowns and only 4 interceptions, while completing nearly 60% of his passes. But in week 15 against the Buffalo Bills, he suffered a foot injury that ended his season.
Simms is down and getting up slowly. Simms is starting to limp off the field here.
When I came off the field, I knew the year was over. But I don't have bitter feelings about it. What's there to be bitter about? I got hurt. It's not like I was playing on the edge and I got benched. But that's just the way it is. And I'm still proud of that Super Bowl ring, of course. And I was part of two of them.
In 1990, the Giants selected Rodney Hampton out of the University of Georgia in the first round of the NFL draft. And from his first day in training camp, Rodney knew he'd have a lot to learn from the Giants veterans.
OJ was at he was an older running back, so I guess they was looking to get a younger back. Well, you know, it's a great situation for me because you had, you know, the veteran leadership. You know, also, you know, Maurice Carthon. Maurice was a guy that I really looked up to, and he kept me in line. But, you know, like you say, the leadership, you know, Pepper Johnson, LT, Carl Banks. And on the offensive side of the ball, you had the Phil Simms, who's a great leader. You had OJ Anderson, the grandfather of the group. He just taught me the little things, you know, how to get prepared for the game and stay warm, stay loose. So I just had to come in and play ball.
Rodney would have an impressive debut for Big Blue, scoring his first career touchdown in week one versus the Eagles.
Throws was right. He's got a receiver. It is complete to Hampton. Touchdown!
Rodney would record over 800 all-purpose yards and 4 touchdowns in his rookie season, helping the Giants jump out to one of their best starts in franchise history.
You know what I mean? We didn't score a lot of points, but Giants was known for the hard-nosed defense, you know, and then on the offense side of the ball, we scored 10, 13 points, we feel like we're going to win. We had a great offensive line, you know what I mean, when I got here, and then we had great people around. You know, we had a veteran quarterback, Phil Simms. He can audible, and he put us in good situation, and, you know, I just knew I was on, you know, some great talent.
Hampton had given the Big Blue offense an added dimension with his combination of power and speed. New York finished the season with a record of 13-3 and were poised for a deep playoff run. But early on in the divisional playoff game at home against the Bears, Rodney would go down with a leg injury that ended his season.
I know injuries happen, nothing I can do about it, but I just know I just had to stay focused and work out hard and try to bounce back for the following season. But we went on and won a Super Bowl, so I felt that I was a part of the Super Bowl team.
It's the signature play of my career with the Giants, there's no doubt about that. Whenever I talk to fans, they're always excited to talk about that play. You know, to make a play on the goal line, you know, I just read the play, read the down and distance, and so that gave me an idea of where I need to go and the chance to make a huge play.
Fourth down at the goal line, about a foot to go. Elway, hands off, they dive, stopped! The Giants go through Gary Reasons.
Great play by Gary Reasons. Reed that he came from about 3 yards into the end zone, threw his body right at Humphrey and crumbled him.
What a job, what a game.
Gary Reasons was a hard-nosed linebacker and punishing defender against both the pass and run. He earned a Super Bowl ring in 1986 with the Giants and was known for delivering big hits and big plays, especially in the postseason. And in the 1990 NFC Championship game, with New York trailing 13-9 and the offense sputtering, he turned the game around with one of the biggest plays in Giants playoff history.
Third and one. Of a yard, they'll have to punt.
You always have to find ways to win ball games. And Parcells, you know, he had something in his bag that he knew that could potentially work for us there.
Fourth and two, and they'll have to punt. Landetta to Taylor.
You know, it was kind of that situation where on fourth down, we needed something to propel us a little bit differently, and that was going to be a fourth down opportunity for us for me to call a fake punt. I always would run by Parcells onto the field. In a fourth down situation. So this time I run by him, and he's looking straight at the field, and I run by him, and he says, use it if it's there.
Fake punt, and it's going to work. It's Reasons. Reasons streaking down to inside the 25. First down and much, much more.
That's the call they needed. That's the play they needed. They needed something to get him out of this. Bill Parcells came up with it.
The element of surprise is a great advantage. I've always told my players, I'm going to do everything I think gives us the best chance to win.
To be able to go out there and look at the assessment of this, and do I call the fake or do I not call the fake, I'm really putting the whole weight of our team and our season on my shoulders on this decision. And for me, it was an easy decision. The 49ers, if you count the number of players on the field, they played with 10 players on that play. So it was a gaping hole for me to run through. And me, with my limited athletic ability, needed a little bit extra room to get through there. So it turned out well, but for me, it was an opportunity to make a decision, execute the play, and run through there.
Three plays later, Matt Barr's fourth field goal made it a one-point game.
13-12, the 49ers lead with 5:47 left to play.
On the next series, another defender would make his mark in Giants history with yet another game-saving play. Eric Howard was a five-year veteran who had also earned a Super Bowl ring in 1986 as part of one of the greatest defenses in New York Giants history.
I remember playing an active role, but when I think back on memories, you know, the ones that you remember are the playoff games and the Super Bowl, and those experiences stick with you. How can I ever forget being in Pasadena for the Super Bowl? It was a phenomenal experience.
But Eric's most memorable moment would come 4 years later in the 1990 NFC Championship game. With the Giants trailing the 49ers by a point late in the fourth quarter, all San Francisco had to do was run out the clock. But when his team needed him the most, Howard stepped up with this signature play.
I remember that sort of seminal moment before the ball was snapped. It was a real feeling of desperation. I remember thinking, you know, prior to the snap, somebody's got to make a play here.
And the clock continues to tick off those precious seconds. First and 10. Three again, hit behind the line of scrimmage, and the Giants have the ball.
You know, I busted through, and there's Roger Craig. I knew that I had made the tackle. I knew that I had made the fumble, you know, because I see, you know, LT get up and run off of the ball.
Lawrence Taylor out of the pack with the ball.
But the guy who caused the fumble was Eric Howard, the old nose tackle. You know, those old nose tackles don't get a heck of a lot of talk about, but Eric Howard made the biggest play of his life on that fumble.
It's sort of apropos that my marquee play is one that most folks don't know I ever made until the game is after. Bill met me on the bus and said, "Hey, I heard that was you who made that play." Super. So, you know, I'll take it, you know, nose tackle.
And with 4 seconds left, Matt Barr's fifth field goal of the day sent the Giants to the Super Bowl.
Snap, spot, kick is away, it's got the distance, it is good! Good!
And the Giants are going to Tampa Bay. It's over for the three-peats. It's over.
In 1986, the Giants drafted cornerback Mark Collins out of Cal Fullerton in the second round.
And I remember, you know, our first minicamp, I'm looking around, I was going, man, there's Harry Carson, there's Lawrence Taylor, there's Jim Burt. I'm going, man, wow, what am I doing here? As a young guy, I had to go out there and perform. So I came in with a stern position. I'm going to play.
He had all the ability in the world, extremely confident. He wanted to come in, he wanted to play, and he was not afraid to let you know about it.
Mark had a physical style of play, and he was strong. And so when he got his hands on the receivers, he was able to reroute them and push them off their route. He was a good tackler. And he was an instinctive player, and I think that was a real strength of Mark with his quickness, his instincts, and when he pressed, his ability to jam and get the receiver's timing off.
Collins started 9 games in his rookie season and would emerge as one of the Giants' most clutch and consistent players.
Stolen by Collins, intercepted. He goes to the 35-yard line, and the Giants have the ball.
You know, we had great character, and no one really wanted to be the standout. It was a team. We're collectively a team. We didn't want to be a bunch of individuals.
And in Super Bowl 25 against the Buffalo Bills, defensive coordinator Bill Belichick devised a defensive scheme that took full advantage of Collins' hard-hitting style of play.
That was the whole objective, was to beat them physically. It was to go out there and nothing cheap, nothing dirty, just make sure when they got the ball, hit them as hard as you can, help them up, and then go back to the huddle. Buffalo's a team, honestly, that did not want to run the ball. You'll watch that game, and Jim Kelly had sometimes up to 10 seconds to throw the ball. That's a long time. He's sitting there going, okay. Should I run it? I don't want to run it. He's just dancing. And we made Buffalo do something they didn't want to do, that no team ever made them do. You know, we're on a mission, man, and once you get on that mission to make something happen, we weren't going to leave Tampa without a championship.
That 90 team was just straight ahead in your face running. The biggest change of that team was the linemen. You know, I think Bart Oates was the only same lineman from the 86 team. They were just bigger, stronger, just more of a pound them out, in your face running team.
Following their 1986 Super Bowl victory, the Giants would have high expectations, but they suffered some disappointing finishes in 1988 and 1989. The team would transition to a much younger offensive line, but center Bart Oates was the veteran leader, showing the new group the ropes.
Bill had left, Bill Ard, Chris Godfrey had gone. Of course, Brad retired, Carl had to the Hodgkins. We actually had physically a better offensive line. Jumbo and William on the left side, two very athletic, you know, big, strong guys. And then, you know, we had Doug Riesenberg, like just your consummate overachiever at the right tackle. And then between Bob Cratch and Eric Moore at the right guard. And Brian Williams was the other guy that was probably the most talented of any of them.
With a mix of young talent and a veteran core, Bart and the Giants would return to the top of the NFL mountain in 1990. And in Super Bowl XXV, they would face the Buffalo Bills in their high-powered K-gun offense.
They'd beaten the Raiders the week before like 52-3 and just had just walked through that season and just dominating defense, dominating offense. And we got, a backup quarterback. We've got a running back who's the oldest starting running back in the league. We were the unlikely guys.
Behind Oates in the offensive line, the Giants' ground attack punished Buffalo's defense. And more importantly, kept the Bills' high-scoring offense off the field.
We held the ball for 41 and a half minutes. We ran the ball. We did it with purpose. We did it with determination.
As a lineman, that's where you get your energy from. You get it by just going forward, pounding into guys, getting into a rhythm. And, you know, as good as they are, they just, you know, it's difficult to stop those things.
With the Giants' physical ground game wearing down the Bills' defense, Big Blue's aerial attack was able to deliver big plays in clutch situations. Stephen Baker's touchdown catch in the second quarter gave the Giants some much-needed momentum going into halftime. Mark Ingram's dazzling catch and run on third down kept a drive alive and led to a touchdown that gave New York the lead.
He'll try to the 20. Yes, he got it.
And backup tight end Howard Cross had four catches, all resulting in crucial first downs.
Hits Cross for a first down. He's out of bounds at the 45.
We definitely went into the game thinking that they were a pass rush group. But when they were in games that they had to, like, defend the run for the entire game, it was tough on them. And they couldn't continue to defend the run, and they would start to overcommit to try to get themselves off the field or to cause you to be in a passing situation. So when we started to run, you know, we sweep right or sweep left, and all of a sudden everybody's flowing that way, the entire team would leave, and I would just trickle out to the backside and catch a ball.
Hostetler rolls to his left, pitch Cross, a nice move by Cross. First down, Giants. Hostetler to throw. Open man at the 15-yard line is Cross, and he has enough for the first down after he gets up.
His third quarter catch for a first down set up Otis Anderson's touchdown that gave the Giants a 17-12 lead.
Second and goal at the one. Touchdown Anderson.
But the game would be decided in the final seconds. In dramatic fashion.
Well, as I'm sitting on the sideline, I'm asking and trying to figure out, is he outside of 40 yards? I know what the report said. If he's outside of 40, he's not going to make it. When he kicks the ball, and I'm like, was he outside of 40? The ball's going, it's going, and you're looking, you're like, oh, my God, it goes outside. We all jump, we're going crazy. And he got pretty close. It was kind of crazy. I just remember jumping up and down and laughing and thinking, man, this is, I can't believe we won a Super Bowl. It almost felt like the world paused for a minute just to watch a game. And then to jump and be excited during that moment and of winning that game, it was a pretty big moment.
The 1990 Super Bowl champion, New York Football Giants. Center, Bart Oates.
There's always a pride with wearing that uniform. One of the best franchises in the NFL, one of the most successful, one of the most storied, and that's something that nobody can ever take from me. And it does give me an immense sense of pride to, you know, being part of that legacy and part of those teams that added to the success of this franchise.
Nose tackle, Eric Howard.
We're always going to be celebrating and remembering those special moments that are going to be with us for the rest of our lives.
Linebacker Gary Reasons.
Being a part of the New York Football Giants really was part of the best part of my life because we won a couple championships, we grew together as a team. So having the opportunity to be a Giant is really, for me, it's been lifelong.
Cornerback Mark Collins.
They don't have reunions for second place teams. Yeah, there's no reunion for the Buffalo Bills. There's always championship reunions for champions. So no matter how long this goes, we're connected by that championship, that Super Bowl. That means a lot.
The stories are tremendous, and the roles that everybody had all contributed to the Giants winning a second Super Bowl in 4 years. Make sure you follow the Giants on Facebook.com/New York Giants, on Twitter at Giants, and of course at Giants.com. For our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota.
Giants Access Blue is brought to you in part by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New York Giants. MetLife. Get a free quote and apply online in less than 10 minutes. Visit MetLife.com/life today.